This is Vince McCauley.
This is Coach Creon of the Surrey Scorchers.
This is Scott Melvin, CEO and co-founder of Buzz 16.
This is Rodney Glasgow for the Sheffield Sharks.
This is Kennedy Leonard from the London Lions.
And you're now listening.
And you're listening.
And you're listening.
And you're listening.
To the BBL Show.
To the BBL Show.
To the BBL Show.
To the BBL Show.
Enjoy the BBL Show.
This is episode 7 of the Summer Road Trip here at the BBL Show. I am Jay Marriott. That very sweaty hot guy over there is Drew Lasker. This week, we welcome the enigmatic, the eccentric, former BBL star, recently retired, now head coach and owner of the Worthing Thunder, Zaire Taylor. How you doing, brother?
Well, you mentioned it, man. I'm out here smoking, man. It's 4 o'clock here in Houston. It's 100 degrees with probably 80% humidity. What's the hottest temperature you've ever been in? Do you even like the heat?
Oh, I love the heat, man. I love the heat. But I know kind of what sort of heat you're talking about. You know, you have to go in the mall just to cool off. And that's just how committed we are, right? You know, we find ourselves in some really funny places. You know, we've been anywhere from my grandmother's spare bedroom to now the boiling heat of Houston, you know? So what are we going to do? The show must go on, right?
Yeah, I think the next one, I got to like record underwater or something. Like, we got to keep this thing going. We got to get creative, man.
Man, I love it. Well, anyway, let's get going. Let's catch up on this week's news. It's your social media spy. It's the Marriott Minute. Okay, let's start with Great Britain men's basketball. Got this. Windows FIBA World Qualifiers off to a losing start with a valiant effort against one of the best in Greece, going down 93-71 away from home and then dropping again at home up in the north against Turkey 71-85. Leicester Riders announced the return of captain Darian Nelson-Henry as they prepare for European basketball. Also seeing him get some airtime for British basketball on Sky Sports this week. Also, the Riders have signed a multi-year deal with talented young Brit Blake Bowman. I noticed Duke Shelton, former Newcastle Eagle, is heading back to France. London Lions announced head coach Ryan Smith is their man for this season. Also announcing the return of British do-it-all Josh Wood-Hibbert and GB international Mo Soloady. On the women's side, we see the first ever WBBL general manager, Vanya Cernicek, who comes over from the Chicago Bulls. Glasgow Rocks announced their first signing with big man Patrick Tate heading to the north. And lastly, the BBL fixtures have been announced with opening day matchups of Flyers v Giants, Sharks v Lions, and Scorchers versus Phoenix. And that's this week's Marriott Minute. I'm always watching.
Yeah, the BBL season is going for a home run right out the gate. So really looking forward to those matchups, looking forward to the Riders hosting the London Lions and then the Lions hosting the Sharks. So should be a lot of fun to start this season. But you mentioned in your minute, Jay, about Darian Nelson-Henry there at the Sky Sports campus assisting in announcing the league's fixtures. And it's something that I never saw before, but I saw people on Twitter mentioning the fact that they wish there was more buildup towards the schedule. Obviously, I'm not in the UK, so I don't have a temperature on what's coming. So what's just your overall thoughts on the announcement? And then also, do you feel that it should have been more buildup towards it?
Yeah, it's very difficult. Like, I'm on two sides of the coin with this because obviously we have a WBBL program here and there's so much that goes behind the scenes before this comes out. And again, I just think that people think there's maybe more staff on the ground than there actually is. And there's more people in place. Remember with 777, I think a lot of it is that we're waiting for this new CEO that I believe is maybe even in place already, but we're waiting for this new situation. So, you know, there's not going to be any staff hires until that person comes in. So I just think it's really, really difficult for them. Like trying to put fixtures together as an organization, as well as a club is an absolute nightmare. You know, everybody wants to kind of position themselves and get some good, you know, get themselves into a good position and not have too many stresses. But, Yeah, I mean, we're doing so well in some areas, I think, in terms of the media that, yes, we definitely should have brought the hype. You know, there was a few people kind of a bit flat. I saw some comments just sort of saying nothing's really changed all that much. You know, and I kind of disagree. I think, like, just reading out the opening day, you know, Scorchers, you know, in the first matchup, I'm kind of interested in that now. Like, Lloyd Gardner's come in, like, you know, is he having to put a young team together? Has he got some cash and he's going to be able to put a good team out on the floor there? Yeah, and I think that if Scorchers can get into the mix, as we know that the Patriots are going to do, then it's going to make things even more competitive. Now, I know I could be countered by our man Dave Forrester, who's sort of saying it's hard to fight for those last couple of places when there's not that much on the line. But I do think it's a bit more exciting than last year.
Yeah, you bring up some great points. I agree that on the fan standpoint, or people who mentioned on Twitter, that would be nice to have a big buildup, because I actually didn't see this coming. I don't know if you were aware that this was going to be televised on Sky Sports News. I had no idea. But at the end of the day, it was great to see. I mean, myself as a business owner, Jay, yourself as a CEO, like, you understand behind the scenes, it takes time to build. And I just think that everybody just wants it all to happen overnight. And I'm with you. Like, I see growth, and I would love for everything to be changed right now today. But I'm a realist. I understand that things happen bit by bit. We are aware of the BBL back staff room, and that's being generous, because that place is really thin. So as you mentioned just previously, you know, there's not enough soldiers on the ground to get everything tidied up where it needs to be. The first domino that needs to fall is the CEO, because you can't hire and put all these places and people in place without knowing the true vision. And that's what the CEO is going to bring. He's going to bring the vision to the league. Hopefully it's someone that has sporting and business experience. And then, you know, they'll be able to fill in those roles and kind of beef up that back staff. But, you know, as I tweeted, I was just happy to be able to see that kind of coverage. I know in my 16 years in the BBL, I'd never seen anything like it. So I thought it was kind of cool. I thought Darian Nelson Henry represented our league very well. He looked the part there on TV, and knowing that that's not an easy gig to do it live. And he represented us well. He was well-spoken and had the hair slicked back and looked the part. So, you know, it's just It's another stepping stone, another Lego that we can stack on each other for the league to build.
We don't know what the time frame was for Leicester either. So, like, you know, people might hate it, but within the Sky Sports organization, we're probably still a minority support at sport. And maybe there was an opening and the Riders took their shot, you know. So we don't know. But it was just great to see. Like you said, it's great to see. I think the last two years, the games have far exceeded expectations in terms of the visuals, the commentary, everything that's going on. And now we're getting these little nuggets of things on Sky Sports. We're going to take that all day long.
And speaking of Sky Sports, the best thing about that schedule release is that the cup is eliminated and the Sky Sports games get kicked off much earlier, you know, a month earlier to last season, where it got kick-started late October or early November, if I can remember correctly. So all in all, it's great news for the league. And as we move on to the next topic in our hot takes, the London Lions finally got their man, Ryan Smith. It's been throughout the whole season, there's been a lot of speculation in regards to what exactly is happening in that role. We've seen the carousel of coaches throughout the year. Now the Lions got their guy, Jay. Do you think he's the right man for the job?
Yeah, I mean, it's been the worst kept secret in the league, right? You know, he's been that guy in the background that we kind of have been alluding to and we've been talking about. And he's obviously, you know, Brett Berman's guy. Like, he really believes in him and sees him move forward. I think the only thing for me that's, like, kind of really disappointing is that you know, he's been in and out of the organization all year. It wasn't fair, I think, on Veer. It hasn't been fair on Landry, I don't think, to kind of put them, you know, they're grown men. I'm sure they knew what they were getting into, but I don't think it was necessarily fair to put them in the firing line like that when they already knew the guy that they were trying to get. So I think that was maybe a little bit of a PR ploy, you know, because it is tough coming in and taking over somebody else's team. That was Vince's team. You know, he may have had some help in the background with recruitment, but that was the guys that he wanted. So I think they wanted to see that project through before announcing the guy that's going to take him forward. But hey, I'm excited. You know, on paper, seems a really great coach. And, you know, he played a pivotal role in that final as well. You know, he seemed the guy that drew up the last minute play that had all this controversy around it. But I thought it was a great draw up, just poorly executed. So we'll see how those things go. But they've been making some really, really big moves, which indicates to me that they've learned the lessons and now they're putting the structures in place that they need to. So you have to assume they're going to get it right this time. You know, third time's a charm.
Well, the biggest takeaway is that obviously he was their guy the whole season. And I think from, you know, speculation, things we've heard on Twitter, he just didn't have the correct paperwork or whatever it is you need to coach in the BBL. I would know, you would know better than me, Jay. But I mean, if those two guys don't get the role or who else would be qualified enough to step in to take over that role for the remainder of the season? In your opinion? Somebody would have had to play that role.
You just don't be a donut and stick with Vince until the end of the season, and you probably would have ended up in a better situation. And you let the guy that's put you in this position to take over the Capitals club go out with his flowers like he deserved. You know, this is a guy, remember, that has played in malls and played in warehouses and put this club in a situation. I don't feel too sorry for him, because I'm sure he walked away with a really nice package. But I just think as a guy like Vince McCauley, you should have let him finish out the season. He did a really great job in Europe. And then you move on. Then you cut your ties. It's nice and clean. So maybe that's not the answer you were looking for. But I'm just saying, stick. Don't twist.
I said many times throughout the season that they should have stuck with Vince and let him finish the season. However, one other side of the coin that we never talked about, maybe Vince saw the writing on the wall and he decided to walk away. We don't know. We never got the story. So we're just speculating here. But at the end of the day, the London Lions got their man. And I would assume that if you're going to go through all this hassle to get him, that he must be the right guy for him. And you know how it works in those GM roles, CEO roles, is those guys in higher positions like to have their guys that they're comfortable with. And he just finished a season with the Honey Badgers out in Canada. Sorry, he's still there. And I'll read you what they said, the GM said, the team president, when they re-signed him to an extra year last year. He said, Ryan Smith has done an exceptional job of creating a team culture that makes the Honey Badgers the preferred destination among players who are in the CEBL and have expressed a desire to play in the league. He is highly regarded by NBA and NBA G League players, and with our Canadian national team players because of his strength with player development. We're excited to be able to sign Ryan for a third season. So the biggest thing that stuck out to me is culture, and we know that's one thing that's kind of lack with the London Lions. So if he's bringing that in, it's a great start. And so we wish the London Lions all the best, because we want to see them progress through an extremely competition next year in the Euro Cup. So we wish Coach Ryan Smith all the best moving forward next year. Let's get to the guest, Zaire Taylor. But before we do, let's take you back, way back, with a little Laska look back to touch on a little bit of his journey up into this point. Zaire Taylor is one of the most colorful athletes to ever grace the British Basketball League. His game consisted of razzle-dazzle, of elusiveness, and creativity on the court with the personality to match off of it. Think of how Gino Crandell highlights have consumed British basketball's social channels in the 2000s and 20s. Well, if content creators were around in the 10s, Zaire would have dominated the scene. His ball handling skills make sense when you realize he's from New York. Concrete jungles where streets are made.
I'll make up for it now.
Don't get me started. Jay-Z, sign your boy up. Beginning his college journey in Delaware, he then transferred to the Big 12, being the first New Yorker recruited to Missouri since 1984. There, he didn't disappoint, making the Big 12 all-rookie team and all-tournament team. His success led to a pro deal in Holland, followed by the Leicester Riders in 2012 and 13, Worcester Wolves, where he captured the league's MVP award, and London Lions, before settling in Worthing, where he now is the, well, Let's get him in a room and find out exactly what his title and role is for the Thunder. And that is your Laska Look Back.
Man, great look back. Let's have a see. Is he wearing the famous robe? Let's get him in the room, hear his thoughts, get some insights. It's Zaire Taylor. Welcome back to the BBL show, Z. Newly retired. Usually you associate that word with putting your feet up, but it was closely followed by taking the helm of your team, the Worthing Thunder, rebranding, big signings. I've seen a few summer pro-am snaps as well. Have you truly, have you had time to sit down and take in the gravity of retiring and any regrets, or are you completely at peace?
Nah, I wouldn't say any regrets. Definitely not regrets. I wouldn't say that, because every time you're on the floor, you play as hard as you possibly can. You give it your all. You try to win every single. Well, I like to say I try to win every single play, not every single game. And then the result is winning the game or winning the championship or whatever it is. But it's focusing on that direct task at hand. And as ballers, you kind of know that. So if you really went in there with that approach, then you don't really have much regrets. You wish some games went better. You know, there's that game you went over, whatever. There's that final where you might not perform to what you feel your standard is. But in that moment that you were actually doing it and living it, you knew you was giving everything you had. So you can't say you regret it. You might have got older and wiser or watched tape and said, man, I should have did that. That guy was open in the corner. So no regrets. But, yeah, I'm okay with everything.
Well, man, we're going to definitely miss seeing you out there. And one thing that I used to always do is I used to love to gauge and judge how good a player was. And I used to always do that by making sure that I had an opportunity to defend them. So I remember vividly 2012 when you were a Lester Ryder. I hear all the hype, you know, Big 12, Missouri. And I was like, okay, let me get a piece of this action and see what this guy is really like. And I never forget, you made this little spin move on the baseline. And I was like, okay, like he actually really got it. But then there was another, you remember? So then also another play.
You plucked me.
I was just about to say that. So you made a crossover. I stripped you. I went down and dunked. Do you remember what you told me after that play?
I don't remember what I said.
Ain't nobody ever ripped me like that.
Yeah, I was about to say you was the only person that ripped me that season for sure. And I was just like, then like from that point on, I had like when someone gets in your pocket like that, it gives you like a level of respect for them for them as a defender. Because I was always that kind of person that like I take pride in my defense as well, and obviously you always did, and you were one of my favorite like people always like to do that kind of like, oh, who's better, Justin or Ramon or me and players or Ramon when I was playing. And the thing is like, you were my matchup, really. Like, you, like, okay, we may both be point guards, but you're going to be the guy that's guarding me. And I'm expected to produce on an offensive level to where it's like, that's the actual matchup that I got to really be concerned with from a productivity standpoint, is putting the points on the board. So I think we had a lot of battles, and I always respected you from that. Like, from that moment on, I was like, all right, yeah, nah. Like, but nah, that don't happen a lot. That doesn't happen a lot. That's why I retired. I feel like I got plucked like two or three times this season. I was like, yeah, it's time to go.
Well, that was kind of going to be my next question for you is like, was retirement out of the fact that you wanted to go out like on your own terms, or was retirement because you were starting to see things in that area grow to such a level that you felt like you had to get your hands around that? Or was it a bit of both?
Like, to be 100% honest, I believe I could play a lot longer if I want to. It's just about where your heart is and where your passion is. And no one could convince me I'm not good at basketball as far as playing basketball. And I feel like I've proven that to myself, and that's all that really matters to me. You know, someone could rate another league higher. Someone could rate another play. That's, everybody's entitled to their opinions. I feel like We're in a modern era where you could type someone's name in and see what they was doing, watch it for yourself. Like, I feel like I was a solid basketball player, and I'm content with my career. And it's like about it's about having new challenges. I like the challenges on the business end that I go through every year. So I feel like that's really my goals now. And to be honest, it's more of a just a selfless decision. Like I was actually wrestling with the idea of whether like it's looking about like with Worth and Thunder. The objective is to see where do you what do we need the most to be successful? And when I have to do an honest assessment and reflection of myself as a player, and then I got to ask myself, would I help this situation coaching more? Are there some areas lacking and void having only one coach where now maybe he like I'm hoping he's going to be around this year to coach with us. I could use his experience because I'm still going to be a rookie. I have another coach that hasn't been announced yet. So now it's about building the whole program. And the last part about it is I'll drop something. I'll give y'all a So even though I am retired and I'm not playing anymore, I'll still be playing. So I'm going to be playing Division III this year. So Worth and Thunder started a Division III team. And I'm hoping I could maybe assist us to get to D2 and building a whole program from the ground. So it's like, where am I needed in the for us to be successful, Worth and Thunder, not what do I want to do? Man, I want to keep playing. I want to play till I can't no more. It's not about that. You got to think about the big picture.
Well, yeah, a lot of interesting things you touched on there. We're actually going to really focus on the business side of things. But before we do, one burning question for fans out there. And just to recap your history. So you started at Leicester. Then you moved over to Worcester where you were the MVP. You won a championship. You beat my Newcastle Eagles in the playoff finals in Wembley. And then you moved on to the London Lions. Following the London Lions, you didn't move down to Division One to Worthing. Why did you make the decision to go to Division One?
So to be honest with you, like this was my plan. There's a lot of things I was always doing behind the scenes. I'm like the honest truth that a lot of people don't know is when I got to this country, well, if I'm being 100% honest, well, I initially went to Holland. At the time, it was paid much better than England was. You know, as on a rookie contract, lowest paid American on my team, I was probably making more than just about anybody in the BBL at that time. Holland, I think, has massively decreased, and as you can see, the BBL's on the rise. And then I took a year off the year that my daughter was born. When I went to Leicester, I saw there's two things that really inspired me. Fab Fanoy and Rob Paternoster on seeing Rob firsthand. I looked at them. They were both Americans, probably neither one of them more than an hour and a half from my house. Like if you put it in Google Maps. So, and they've come here and they were able to thrive and create themselves situations that could be lasting and build. And I was like, this was like the BBL was not supposed to be a stepping stone. I was supposed to come here in my brain. I was going to come here, average a triple double. Because I'm hearing how terrible the league is. Like, obviously, I've gotten the reality very soon when I got arrived. But I'm hearing, don't go there. It's terrible. And Rob sold me on coming just because I felt like I never had someone break down my game the way he did. So when I came, by my second year, when I was at Worcester, I was actually trying to buy the Birmingham Knights. I wanted to buy a team then. And I was like, and that's always been my goal. And from that point on, when it didn't happen, winning, I thought it made sense to go to London as a, I feel like you need it would make sense to hit the capital city for networking purposes and everything else. And just building your brand and I seen the kind of love that you got, that I received in Leicester and Worcester. I'm like, if I play on more teams, I'm going to have more of the country behind me. So I thought it was more calculated and every decision may not went perfectly to plan, but I'm not mad at any of them. But no, like a big misconception is that when I came to Worthing, like I couldn't be in the BBL no more. I had offers from some of the top BBL teams, like Leicester won that year and they offered, like I had a situation, like we didn't get around to it because I already told Vince what I was doing straight away. So it was always like, that was always the plan. The plan, like that's the reason, that's one of the major reasons that I stayed in this country. Plus, I don't speak any other language, so I couldn't make these kind of endeavors and moves if I'm in Italy or France or Germany, I'm not going to have the same success.
So with this Word and Thunder move then, what is the end point? Is the end point the BBL? Is the end point to be a powerhouse at Division One? Like, obviously you've highlighted that you're trying to get that underbelly of structure in place. So you're trying to get that, you know, Division Three, Division Two, Division One, being able to offer every level of basketball. But what's the end point? Do you still have that burning desire to go in the BBL, or does that not make business sense?
No, see, and that's the thing. See, business sense, right? You got like when, like that, and it goes back to what I said earlier about deciding to play D3 instead of playing D1 this year, and coaching instead of playing. When it's about, you have to look at what's best for the club, because after my first year here, I wanted to make a push for the BBL, and I was gonna try to see what I could do, and then I started doing the breakdowns and the math. Well, it took some convincing because I was adamant and I'm very stubborn, but it took some people really giving me some wisdom and telling me how foolish I would be to do that. And they were right. And eventually I did listen, and it didn't make sense. But what we did in that time was we built the infrastructure. We're in probably about 50 plus schools in the area. We have a junior program that started with no teams when I arrived. We've grown exponentially from 2 to 4 to over 8 to then 16 in 4 year span. And all of these things grow the club. We've contended for championships. We've won championships. So now I think this year we're doing a lot on the more trying to really make a big splash in NBL. And I think the BBL is in our future, to be quite honest. I think it is something, it's a move that we're entertaining right now, that we're interested in. Obviously, we don't get the final say, so we have to be approved. But these last 5 years really been dotting our I's and crossing our T's. And I've also learned that when I arrived, coming from the BBL, I wanted to get back. I wanted to get back. I wanted to be a player coach. I was like I wanted to get back while I was still younger to be able to still go against guys and really make my mark, until I had to humble myself and realize it's not about me, and this the journey that we're taking right now is going to be much better. And to be honest, when it comes from a business standpoint, we've like our budget is going up every year, and it's by doing it from the ground, by building, like, you know. And it was some hard years behind it. It was years I had to take no money and go get paid doing other stuff. I deliver pizza. I've done all kind of like odd jobs, behind the scenes, like whatever it takes to make it work was what it was about for me. So, and I'll be doing that while playing basketball, while coaching kids. The money that comes in from that I should have X amount of hours, we just add that to the budget, and then I got to go do another job just to pay for gas to go do these jobs. It's like, it was really like that, and people don't see that side of it. And none of it was by accident. It was a lot that people don't see.
And this is why Jay and I love this show, because it gives players like yourself the platform to really share who you are off the court. And, you know, there's been a lot of misconceptions about you specifically that, you know, I read over the years, and, you know, people make these assumptions that maybe you're not smart, you don't know what you're doing. But it's very clear that you're a very profound guy. So it's awesome to see. It's awesome to hear. Just specifically with your role, for our listeners, what is your role? What is your title there at Worthen? Are you the owner, coach? What is your role there?
I own the club, director, coach, head coach of the junior program, coach 3-4 junior teams. Under 12s, under 14s, boys, under 16s, boys. I help out with under 14s, girls, and I didn't do under 16s, girls this year. So, yeah, and player, I guess, for the D3 team. So I do a little bit of it all. I don't think people realize this. Like, my career high 60-point game, that we had a doubleheader that weekend. We played on the Saturday. That game was on a Sunday. I'm driving an hour and 45 minutes to go coach under 12s one day, hour and 45 minutes back. Don't warm up for the game. And I think people just think I'm strolling in because I just want to be arrogant and cocky, or like, yeah, whatever. But no, like, I was working, had to do a job. And then to repeat cycle, do the same thing for my under 14s at this, at a further location, come stroll in and then go play. And it's like, whatever role needs to be done. And the thing is, even Ishmael Fontaine, as a player, he's really embraced a similar role by doing a lot of coaching and a lot of things. And the thing that's so surprising, I think, like when we signed these players that we signed this year, I don't think people really understand. I think there's a, like you've said, I think there's a false reality about so many players that is misunderstood when you're recruiting players. And people think you, it's like sometimes a player just wants to be understood, and there are things that you can deliver to a player that are beneficial to him specifically. And sometimes that doesn't come in value of money, or that doesn't come in this or tangible things. Every contract I ever signed, I had a contract worth more that I declined because it didn't make the most sense. Like, so that's just, so I feel like that, like, a lot of perspective is that I just, you know, and like, just, we're just like throwing cash out and just getting everybody. And whatever the reality is, my thing is, it's just about understanding players. Like, I feel like most of us are misunderstood, for real. Like, and when you look at it, what we need, so like, some of us care about our legacy more than we care about money. Some of us, like, and when it comes to, oh yeah, back to bring it full circle, when I look at like a guy like Andre Arisaw or Ronald Blaine, any of these guys that have had a lot of success in this league, I'm worried it's going to be a hassle to talk to them about coaching hours. Oh yeah, but you're going to have to work in the community. You're going to do, and it's like, these guys look forward to these things. Like these guys embrace that, and that's what's growing the program more than anything.
What you did take, you know, you're going to be there. You're going to be in a secure situation, and as athletes, that's what we want, right? Security in a very unstable world.
Well, first thing, I'm glad you touched on that point, because this is something I feel strongly about. And I wrestle with, and I feel like it places me at a disadvantage against other teams in this country. But just based on principle, is that I won't let a player go based on their on-court performance. I don't believe that is fair. I mean, unless I could afford to pay them that, like what the contract was. I don't believe in that. I feel like because as general managers and as coaches or whoever recruits this team, where's the accountability to be held on their end? Like, if this guy, especially if I already played in the league, and you see me in this league and then you recruit me and sign me and then say, you're not really getting the job done, then where's the penalty for the coach? Where's the penalty for the general manager? Like, if we watch NBA basketball, you miss out on the wrong draft pick, you're going. it's real cutthroat, and I feel like the accountability is both ways. So that is actually one thing that I do promise the guys. I didn't fully hear your question because it was going on. The sound was a little bit in and out, but I caught the end of it.
Yeah, really where I want to go is I want to talk about the rebrand.
Yeah.
Really. Is that a whole part of your going into taking this coaching role? This is kind of a new area for the club. And what I want to know as well is, have you faced any kind of backlash about making those changes, or has it all been positive and people understand what you're doing?
I think you're always going to get, like, I think one thing that people have to realize is that what you know to be what is isn't what always was. So they're like, they've been changed. Like, I've seen old jerseys and old pictures of Thunder Gear that wasn't black and orange. So there was a color before that. And my thing is, you always have to be, you can't be afraid to fail. You have to be willing to try to push things forward, be innovative, be creative. I think we have about 5, 6, 7 jerseys dropping this season, something like that. The real reason behind the rebrand is just to add a new level of excitement behind the club. I also think the colors are a lot more common. They go with more things. You wanna get to a place where I wanna see people, like, if we don't put Thunder on everything and we put Worthing on stuff, Maybe people from Worthing will wear a shirt that says Worthing on it. Like, so you gotta do different things. Like there's things trending right now ever since LeBron wore them Lakers shorts to summer league with Lakers on the front. Now that became a trend, and now you got all different kind of shorts with names right across the front. So when you do this and you got people all through Worthing community, oh, now we drop basketball shorts, summertime it goes, and it's like it's trying to brand yourself, trying to expand your brand. And also, if I'm being 100% honest, I'm in the middle of conversations with a American company that share similar colors, and there may be a potential merger happening. So if that will take place, then I don't want to have to change the colors again. So like, we already decided we were changing the colors, and I like, obviously Dale's not done, or like that, those conversations are happening. But if it were to happen, I wouldn't have to be like, oh yeah, y'all love those new colors, but we're about to have some more. So it just made sense all the way around.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff you touched on. I love the point about as far as the responsibility of GMs and coaches, and you're starting to see that in the BBL, whereas in the past, it was always the players that were held accountable. If they're not performing, they get cut. Now this past year, you saw with Vince, you saw with Ian McLeod, that now coaches are starting to be held to a certain standard as well. And you touched on a lot of different points in regards to the Worthing Thunder, the rebrand, the off the court things that you guys are trying to accomplish. We look at this roster. You have an amazing roster you put together, but you said that it's not just focused on performance. So for the 2022-23 season, what is the main goal? Is it to win a championship? Is it to build?
Oh, to be quite honest, like, well, my goal every year is to win every single game. Never done it. But I honestly, people say, oh, that's not realistic. The one thing I always hate is when I go play for a team and coaches try to give you that, like, that talk, like, that try to, like, to make you kind of be like a realist about things. Like, all right, look, we're not going to win every single game. Right there, I'm pissed. Like, I'm like, yo, no, that's not, I won't say anything, but it makes me feel away. And they're like, why not? Like, what game are we going to do? Are we saying we're going to lose? And I, like, obviously that is truly my goal. Like, that really is. I am a realist, and I do understand that as great as this team is and as great as the guys seem to get along so far, playing in the summer league gives us opportunities to build. Obviously, we have some other players as well, but just these little reps, a handful of them played in the All-Star game, coincidentally on the same team. So it's like, the realist of me understands that I am a rookie coach. Okay, I know this game well. I do believe that I've studied this game. I've been around this game since birth. And I feel like there are still these very important situations that you don't experience till you experience. And even though I've coached under 12s, under 14s, ABL level, things like that, it is not like being in a professional game where you're held accountable, where they're going to talk bad about you on WhatsApp, where your fans that might be upset with you and roll their eyes, and you got the judgment behind it, every decision that you make. So I'm fully aware of that. And I tell the guys, look, like, understand that, and like make my job easy and less on. And I'm not afraid of a challenge.
We'd like to thank Zaire Taylor for sharing his story with us on the BBL show this week. Make sure to tune in next week and see where the summer road trip takes Jay and Drew. And that wraps up this episode of the Summer Road Trip here on the show.